We will be reading Psalm 91, verses 1 to 16. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is he who delivers me from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or by the arrow that flies by the day, of the pestilence that stalks the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon.
1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways.
They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will see him secretly on high, because he know my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation.
What a privilege to be with you again. As we worship together, as we study the Bible together, and above all, learn more about our Lord. Let me begin by asking you a question. What do you think is the greatest need of the human species? What do you think is our greatest need? You know, years ago, a certain psychologist and philosopher by the name of Abraham Maslow, he came up with the hierarchy of human needs. According to him, the number one need is physical needs. He talks about food, water. These are basic needs. But to the surprise of many, the second greatest need is security, safety. Today, I want to focus on one of our greatest needs. And one of them is security. So I've entitled our talk, When Life Seems Scary. And the truth is, many people are scared today, especially of COVID-19. People are scared about their financial conditions. They are scared about their health. What do you do? Answer. Call 911. What is the meaning of call 911? 911 is from the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 91. You begin by verse 1. It talks about God's amazing solution to provide security, to provide peace, to provide safety in the midst of fear, pandemic. The outline of Psalm 91 is very simple. It has to do with three major points. You will only experience security based on God's promise or promises. How do you experience God's promises or God's promise? Know the premise. What's the condition? You must know who is giving the promise. Know who is giving the promise, the promiser. So the premise, what's the condition? Who is the one giving the promise? The promiser. And better understand, what is the promise? How many of you have experienced being disappointed by men and women not keeping up to their words, their promises? The truth is, many of us have been disappointed. I look at many young couples. They enter marriage. They are full of excitement. They make promises. Guess what happened? I remember one couple. Amazing promises during the wedding. They make vows. And the most important promise, in good times, in bad times, in sickness or in health, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a promise made to each other and before God. What's the truth? Most marriages, most men, most women do not keep their promises. And that's why a lot of young people are skeptical. They're discouraged because they see people not keeping their promises. Sad to say, somebody once said promises are made to be broken. But can I tell you something? If you go to Psalm 91, the amazing thing about God's promises, God will fulfill His word. God will never fail. Today, I want to share with you the promise of God. So let's begin. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Right in the beginning, 9:1:1, Psalm 91, verse 1, you are introduced to the one giving the promises and the condition of the promise. Notice, it is very specific. What is the condition? Who are the recipient of this promise? First, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. The condition is not for everybody. It is for those who will dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Dwells comes from the word abide. It comes from the word staying. It is the same word used in John 15:5. If you abide in me and I in you. The word picture is intimacy. If you stay, if you are always in the presence of God, that's the whole emphasis, in God's presence, you will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Condition? He who dwells in the shelter. The word shelter means the secret place, the very presence of the Most High. Intimacy with God. You will abide, you will stay in the shadow of the Almighty. What is the implication of shadow? Can I tell you something? If you are far away from the shelter, you will not be under the shadow. To be under the shadow of the Almighty speaks of nearness. It speaks of intimacy. And that's the whole emphasis of Psalm 91. You want security? You want safety? Only one place. In the presence of God. Question. Are you abiding? Not just once a week. Not just in the morning. Are you abiding day by day in God's presence? To abide in God's presence is to walk with the Lord. To abide in God's presence means to obey Him. It is not running away from God. It is not doing your own thing. It is walking side by side. It is following His direction in life. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. Notice, the condition is for someone who will understand and realize that God, the Lord, God Himself, is his refuge and fortress. He knows that his security, his protection is in God. So the condition for real security and safety in the midst of danger. And if you are afraid, there's only one answer. God promised, if you are in His presence, if you are intimate with Him, you will have security. My God in whom I trust. Notice the action word. Because of who God is, you are going to trust Him. Remember the word trust? The word trust comes from the root word inside the house, beth, betak. It means to cling on inside the shelter, to be totally dependent on the Lord. But you will not be dependent on the Lord. You will not put your trust in the Lord if you don't know Him. And that's the whole essence of Psalm 91. Who is giving the promise? Why is that important? Because I've noticed many times, men, especially men, they make promises. But there are times when they cannot fulfill promises. Why? Sometimes they forget. Sometimes they want to do it, but they don't have the resources. You see, many times you like to keep your promise, but you cannot do it. You don't have the strength. You don't have the abilities. But with God, it is not a problem. Notice who is giving the promise. You have the four names of God. Number one, the Most High. The one giving the promise is called the Most High God. What does it mean, Most High? No one is greater than the Most High. That is what Jesus said. All authority has been given to me. So God is the Most High. Supreme authority, supreme being. Next title, Almighty. What does that mean? El Shaddai. Almighty comes from the root word, the breast, a mother providing milk, meaning God can provide for all of your needs. That's how He described Himself, God Almighty, Almighty. Next word is Lord, capital L-O-R-D. It's talking about Yahweh. The word Yahweh was given in the context of covenant. Because God is making promises to His people. God is saying, you'll be my people. I'll be your God. You follow me, and this is my part. I will fulfill my responsibilities. I'll provide for you. I will protect you. I am Yahweh, the one who loves you. And the next title of God is Elohim, God. That word first appeared in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. From the word Elohim, plural, majesty of God, the creator of heavens and earth. In verses 1 and 2, you now have the four amazing titles of who is giving the promise. God Himself. He is called the Most High. He is called Almighty. He is called Lord. And He is called Elohim, my God. Friends, you can rest assured that the one giving the promise is faithful. He will do it. Now, the emphasis of who is giving the promise is repeated in verses 3 and 4. It is He, emphasizing God, who will deliver you from the snare of the trapper. Notice it is God who is going to protect you from the snare, from the traps of the evil one, from the deadly pestilence. This includes COVID-19, all kinds of sickness. He will cover you with His pinions. Under His wings, you may seek refuge. Do you notice? It's all about Him. And this is not a word picture of a bird protecting the young ones under His wings. And above all, I love this last phrase. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. Notice the word faithfulness. It is not our faithfulness. It is God's faithfulness. And He's going to protect you. It's like a shield, a protection. bulwark, another term for a protective device. God is saying, I will be the one to do it. But as I look at these verses, I realize the danger out there is not just physical danger. It has to do with spiritual danger. Protect you from the snare of that trapper. You see, the writer wants us to realize the world out there is dangerous. Not only do we have pestilence, do we have physical enemies, you have spiritual enemies. For example, the Bible tells us we have an enemy of the soul, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare. Same idea, snare, traps of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Do you notice the danger that we face today? The lies of Satan, his snare. For what purpose? To be held captive. Do you realize when people commit sin, they are not understanding that they are following the devil? Do you think people will follow the devil if the devil were to appear and say, "Hello, I am the devil, follow me"? Will you follow the devil? Of course not. So he sets traps, snare. That word trap, snare, has the following picture. It is something in disguise to capture the innocent, the ignorant, like birds. The word snare has the idea of fishing baits. I don't know if you like fishing, but there are many kinds of lures to capture the fish. Notice, to get their attention, different fish have different baits. Corn, worm, something like a small fish, and something like a squid. The whole objective is to deceive the fish. And I realize that is Satan's favorite technique. He deceives us. For example, God invented sex. Sex is beautiful. But what will Satan do? Satan will corrupt it. And then he will lure young people. And pretty soon, we become trapped because we think it's okay. But in order to be protected, you look at this verse. It is God who will deliver us. And how will he protect you? Notice, he will cover you with his pinions. Under his wings, you may seek refuge. In other words, the only way to overcome the snare of the devil is to stay close to our Savior. Stay close to God. And this is the picture that the psalmist wants you to have. Under his wings, you are to seek refuge under the shelter of the Lord. So you have baby chicks protected by the mother hen. This is a picture of an eagle, birds. You see, this is a picture of God. God is saying, you come under my wings. I will protect you. Do you know this is used in the Bible? When Jesus was over Jerusalem, Jesus said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." That's what Jesus wants, to protect his people. What is the problem? And you were unwilling. I've discovered when we're deceived by the devil, we turn away from the Lord. Our heart becomes hardened. God is saying, come to me. The only way you will find security in life, spiritual warfare, deceptions, come to me. Have you asked yourself, how come there are many people who does not want to come to God, who does not want to attend Bible study, who does not want to be intimate with Jesus? Spiritual warfare. Snare of the devil. We have been led astray. Notice the promise. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. In other words, in the midst of danger, night or day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. A picture of a lot of danger. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. Do you understand the word picture? In the midst of danger, arrows flying, pestilence lurking, just like today. I have people telling me how their loved ones are so anxious. Some are depressed, some are fearful, some are paralyzed by fear. Why? Friends, if you don't understand the Lord and you don't understand what it means to be protected by Him, you have every reason to be fearful. You will not have this answer. You will not have this solution. You will not be afraid. On the contrary, you have every reason to be afraid. Just recently, my son-in-law had an accident just a few days ago. There was somebody shooting somebody else, and the shooter was speeding away to escape. And would you believe it? He rammed into the car of my son-in-law. And I praise God, my son-in-law, Jeff, was protected. Imagine, just a few seconds difference, the danger could have been worse. You see, our life, many times, we are protected by the Lord. Friends, I've often heard of stories of how God will protect His children. You see, our security is in God's hand. When it is not your time to go, you are immortal, because God is in control of our future. Your security is in Jesus. Notice the promise. You will only look with your eyes, see the recompense of the wicked. You have made the Lord my refuge, a repetition of the condition, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Amazing promise. What does that mean? No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. What does that mean? Does it mean you will never have any problem? Does it mean you will never get sick? Let's find out. The next verse tells us, He will give His angels charge concerning you. Notice the grammar. Plural. Countless angels are sent by the Lord to protect us, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra. The young lion and the serpent you will trample down. A picture of victory. What does it mean? Satan wants you to believe that promise means you will never have any problem. You will never go through hardship. How do I know that is what Satan wants you to believe? Because Satan used Psalm 91. He misinterpreted Psalm 91 and he tried to deceive Jesus. Let's find out what he did. In Matthew 4, the devil took Jesus into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, this is now the devil speaking, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. The devil is now telling Jesus, since you are the Son of God, and we know you are the Son of God, jump. Because it is written, He will command His angels concerning you. On their hands, they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. The devil was quoting the Bible. Do you realize the devil knows the Bible? Do you realize the devil uses the Bible? The devil knows the Bible more than you and I. And he uses the Bible out of context. The devil can misinterpret the Bible to deceive us, just like what he tried to do with Jesus. But Jesus knew the Bible even better. Why? Notice Jesus countered with another passage of Scripture. Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." What's the point here? The devil is telling Jesus, based on that promise, God will protect you. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to suffer. Because God promised to protect you. He will send His angels. You don't need to suffer. You go through life and you live happily ever after. That's the promise of God. But that is not the meaning of that promise. Can you imagine if you and I believe that God has promised faithful Christians that if they abide in Him, they will never suffer, they will never get sick, everything will be fine. What will happen? What will happen if you suffer? What will happen if you have problems? I know what will happen. You will say, God's promise is not true. You will say, God's word is not to be trusted. And what will you do? You will withdraw from God. And that's why many Christians make tampo. They suck. They withdraw from God because they are disappointed by God. And the reason is they don't know the promise. This promise is not only conditional. This promise does not mean God's people will never suffer. They will never have problems. Let me give you important principles when you interpret the Bible. One of the most important principles is this. You should never take one set of scripture and take it so that it contradicts another. You don't use one passage, one set of scriptures. Highlight it at the expense of other parts of the Bible. The Word of God will not contradict itself. You must learn how to harmonize the different seemingly contradictory verses, because God will never contradict Himself. Let me give you an example. Luke 21. When Jesus talks about the future, He told His disciples, "You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends." Notice, "They will put some of you to death." He warned them, "You will be put to death." I thought if you follow Jesus, you will never have problems. Here is Jesus telling them, "You will die. You may die. You will be hated by all because of my name." Now, what is funny and strange was the next verse. "Yet not a hair of your head will perish." Huh. You will die. However, not a hair of your head will perish. How do you put two and two together? Security is in Jesus. But it does not mean you will not go through pain, suffering, and death. However, you are secure. You are protected. Not a hair of your head will perish. This is where you need to see things now from another perspective. Eternal perspective. That you and I are not just physical beings. We are spiritual beings. And the Bible says, by your endurance, you will gain your life. You will gain your soul. You see, what does it mean to be protected by the Lord? It does not mean you are exempted from problems. It does not mean you will never go through hardship. But it means in the midst of hardship, in the midst of trials, God is with you. He will secure you. And His purpose will be accomplished in your life. And what is best for you, He will make it happen. Another verse to explain. What does it mean? God's protection. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, this verse is very popular, but we don't understand the full meaning. God causes all things. Now, before you see the word God causes all things, you need to see the first phrase. We know. It is a statement of faith. It does not say you see. Many times you don't see, but you know by faith, you know that God causes all things to work together. The important word is all things work together for good to those who love God. Notice, together. Certain bad things will happen. You don't call evil things good. Don't misinterpret this verse. The all things may include pain, and they are not good. But when you put them all together, to work together for good, it becomes good. My favorite illustration of this verse is one of my favorite dishes. It's called chicken and pork adobo. Do you know how to cook adobo? You use different ingredients. For example, oil. Oil itself will not taste good. It's yucky. Garlic. Garlic by itself does not taste good. What about onion? Raw onion, it doesn't taste good. Vinegar. Oh my goodness, vinegar. What about soy sauce by itself? Black pepper. But you combine them. It becomes what? Adobo. You know, if I look at my life and you look at what's happening, sometimes by itself, it's not pleasant. But when you look back, you say, wow, everything has a purpose. And many times, you will only see the good at the end of your life. But sometimes God allows you to see it. It is just like what happened to our family. Many years ago, my daughter was raped. Not by one man, not by two men, by seven evil men. That was the most painful family experience we ever went through. It was evil. And I told the Lord, I'm claiming Romans 8:28. That you will make something good out of this. Honestly, I could not understand what good will come out of this. I said, Lord, I will trust you. My wife did the same thing. Lord, we will trust you. But I have to be honest. Thoughts entered my mind. God cannot protect you. God did not protect your family. How can you trust Him? Those thoughts entered my mind. But I realize there's a spiritual battle. The battle for what is true. What is truth? The truth is God is in control. The truth is God allowed this to happen. And the truth is someday I will see the good that will come out of this. But now I don't see. So what we did, we trusted in the Lord. And we waited on the Lord. And this you will see from the testimony of my daughter, Joy.
Hi, everyone. My name is Joy Mendoza. And today I'm privileged to share with you just, you know, the goodness of God, despite the tragedies or the difficult things we may experience in our lifetime. You know, one of the things I wanted to share with you guys, and I think you already know about it, many of you, but in case you haven't heard about it yet, I was a victim of rape when I was a teenager. It was a major tragedy for our family, as well as my two other friends who were part of what happened. They were also victims. It happened in my home. My parents were away. They were teaching a Bible study that night. So can you imagine, they're teaching a Bible study and this happened to their daughter. My siblings were also tied up during the time. And it was just a really horrific, tragic event in the history of our family, in the history of my own life. When I think about it, you know, it seemed like a black hole. Yet as time went on, I really began to see the goodness of God and His purposes for what I went through. One of which was, I really believe that he wanted me to use that story to talk about his goodness and to tell people that he redeems the things that we go through, the painful things. He can use it for his glory. He can use it to bring others into his kingdom. I've been able to write a book about it. I've been able to share about my testimony on multiple platforms and in different parts of the world. And it's made people see, not me, but how amazing God is. You know how amazing he is? I mean, I married a wonderful, God-fearing man. I am mom to 6 children. God has allowed me to partner with my husband alongside him to minister to other families, both here and around the world. And so he's just caused so much good to happen from this tragedy. And I don't think I would be the same person if I had not gone through it, because it also drew me closer to him. Very recently, about 1.5 years ago, I went through something else that was very difficult, where I was forced into premature menopause after I gave birth because I had a cyst growing inside me, had to be removed. But along with that cyst, there were complications. So other body parts had to be removed, other organs had to be affected. And the recovery was so hard for me. And I remember going through that season last year and not really questioning God, because I still believe that he was good, but just hurting and really, really feeling bad about myself, about what I went through, kind of focusing on myself. And God had to remind me, you know, why is your perspective so earthbound? Don't you realize that I the best is yet to come? But God wanted me to focus on eternity and to remember that this body is, you know, it's something that's not going to last forever. And our real home is heaven. You know, by God's grace, he has healed me because he is our healer. And I do believe that, you know, I'm so much better off now than I was before the surgery, even though I did lose many things. God intends us to live a victorious life. He intends us to be able to maximize it for his purposes, for his glory. And so that's what I decided to do. Instead of focusing on myself and really feeling down, God reminded me, no, you focus on what I still have for you to do on this earth, that you can still choose to be a blessing. You can still choose to be joyful. You can still choose to be thankful. You can still choose to trust in me and my good plans for you. And finally, the verse that God has always comforted me with, John 16:33, you know, in this world, we may have tribulations, we may have problems, but he says, take heart because I have overcome the world. And we can overcome the world also if we have Christ in us.
Let's review. What is the condition of the promise? Are those for those people who abide in the shelter of the Most High, intimacy with God. It's our protection. Who is giving the promise? God himself. What is the meaning of this promise? The promise means, this promise does not mean you will always be exempted from problems, trials, or sickness. God promised to protect us in and through trials to ensure that his good purpose will be accomplished and God's best will eventually happen in our life for God's glory. That is our security. That no matter what will happen to us, it is really for our best, for his glory, and to accomplish his purpose. That's our security. God guarantees our eternal well-being. Let me tell you why. If your security is not in God, and your security is in something else, you will never be secure. Let me repeat. If my security is not in God, in people, in relationships, in money, that is no security. You can lose your money. You can lose relationships. You can lose loved ones. The only security that you and I have is God. Because he will never lose you, and you can never lose him. That is real security. At rest. Surrender everything to him. The book of Hebrews tells us many times God's promises are future tense. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. In other words, to experience the reality of God's security, our part is to trust Him by faith. It's one thing to know the promises of God, but how are you going to claim it? Faith. What is the meaning of faith? Assurance of things hoped for, based on God's promises. The conviction of things not seen. You don't see it now. How is this played out? Example, for by it the men of old gained approval. If you study the entire book of Hebrews chapter 11, you will notice the following. The example of men of old that the Bible uses is the faith of Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Moses, Gideon, Samson, David, etc. These are men of faith. However, there are other examples that we seldom talk about. It's found in Hebrews 11, verse 37. Who are these examples? They did not give the names, but they were mentioned. They were stoned. They were sown in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. In other words, they suffered. And all of these Old Testament examples gained approval through their faith. Did not receive what was promised. Do you notice the seemingly contradictory term? They gained approval from God. Why? Because of their faith in God's promises. However, the same Bible verse says, they did not receive what was promised. What can you learn? You see, the promises of God are not always experienced in our lifetime. But God is honored if you trust Him. You cling to Him. You say, Lord, I don't fully understand your amazing promise that you will protect me, that you will heal me, and above all, it is what's going to happen to me for my best. I don't fully understand this, but Lord, I trust you. And because I trust you, the Bible tells us, God approved. You are approved. You are well-pleasing. Now you know the meaning of Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Notice, you must not only believe that God is God, not only believe in His promises, that He can fulfill it, you must believe that God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Now, rewarder does not always mean now. And that's why the whole emphasis of Hebrews 11 is about faith, trusting God. As we close, the psalmist, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is now speaking from God's perspective. The grammar changes. It is now God giving the promises. Psalm 91, 14, 16. Because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him securely on high because He has known my name. What do you notice? God is now speaking. Because He has loved me, I will deliver Him. I will. God is speaking. I will set Him securely on high because He has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer Him. Huh. What is the meaning of this? The psalmist repeats the condition. What is the condition of this promise? Very specific. The condition is because He has loved me. Intimacy with God. This promise is given to people who are intimate with the Lord. Friends, it's hard to love somebody if you don't know the person. God is saying, because they have loved me, because you love me, I will deliver you. I will set him securely on high. I will give you security because, notice the condition, he has known my name. The word known comes from the word what? Experiential knowledge, relationship. God is saying, if you love me, if you really know me, how can you love somebody if you don't know him? Many people have a hard time loving God. Can I tell you why? Because you don't know the Lord. God is saying, come, know me, walk with me. And how do you know the Lord? For me, I walk with him day by day. I study the Bible. I meditate on his word. And the more I obey him, the more I experience his faithfulness. Love comes. Love when you know. And when you know him, what will you do? You will call upon me. You know, many times we don't pray. Our prayer life is anemic. Do you realize people who don't know the Lord don't get excited about prayer? If you don't look forward to praying to God, listening to God, is it possible? You have religion, but you don't have relationship. It's hard for me to imagine that I will not like to talk to somebody if I really love the person. If I love somebody, I want to speak to the person. I want to listen to the person. I want to spend time with him. That is the condition, my friend. Loving God, knowing him, and calling upon him. In these two verses, he gave us 8 promises. In 2 verses. Promise number 1, I will deliver him. Promise number 2, I will set him securely on high. I will give you security. Promise number 3, I will answer. God will answer our prayer. Promise number 4, I will be with him. The promise of God's presence, I will be with you. I will rescue him. I will be your deliverer. It does not mean no problem. To rescue somebody means they're in the midst of problem. And I will honor him. Another promise. I will honor you. I will promote you. With long life, my goodness, I will satisfy you. Notice, it is not enough to have long life. It must be satisfying long life. What does that mean? You can only find all of these promises in Jesus. Last promise, I will let him see my salvation. Do you know Jesus promised all of the above? All of the above is experienced in the person of Jesus. One of the best examples I have is a good follower of Jesus. He's a very good Christian. His name is the Apostle Paul. At the end of his life, when Paul wrote 2 Timothy, he was about to die. He told his audience, the time of my departure has come. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to meet the Lord. And then he put the following verses. Notice how all of those promises are experienced by Paul. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The promise of God's presence. In the midst of imprisonment, Paul is saying, the Lord stood with me. Assurance of God's presence. That the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. Paul talks about how he was delivered. Paul talks about how God fulfilled his mission through his life. I was able to share the gospel. Why? For Paul's agenda, it's all about God. His pleasure is doing God's will. But the last sentences, this is the most amazing. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. What does that mean? He was about to be beheaded. He was about to be martyred. How did God rescue him? Notice, you get to see the context. and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. The guarantee of our security, that even in the midst of death, we have nothing to fear, because God is with us. And whatever God allows to happen, for the Apostle Paul, even death for him is not an evil deed. It is simply a promotion. God will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. You see, God promised his people that I will safeguard you, I will protect you. No matter what, in life or death, I am with you. That, my friend, is our security. If you are always afraid, if you're always fearful of what may happen, can I tell you something? You will never have real peace if you're always depending on yourself. Why? There's really no security. You can fall down in your bathtub today. Inside your house, you can fall down and die. You can sleep and not wake up. Where's our security? In Jesus. Intimacy with Jesus. You can rest assured. You don't have to be afraid, because God promised. 9:1:1 in Psalm 91. God will protect you. He will guard you. You have nothing to fear, because God is your protector. God is the one who will cover you under the shadow of his wings. My prayer is you'll experience this kind of security. And you will not experience this security until you know the conditions. Relationship with God, intimacy with God, and by faith, you surrender. I want to close with a word of prayer to give all of you a chance to really experience real security. You can only find security if you surrender everything to Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Tell him that he is your security. Tell him you want to abide in him. Whatever you are depending on, you have to surrender. It can be religion. It can be yourself. It can be your insurance policy. It can be your money. That's your security. You will never be secure. You need Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I realize you are our only security. That apart from you, there is no security. Lord, your promise of forgiveness, your promise of eternal life, your promise of protection can only really happen if we abide in you, if we come to you. So Lord Jesus, today, I accept the condition of intimacy with you, the condition of your protection. I come to you, Jesus. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I accept your forgiveness. I receive your gift of eternal life. And since that is the condition of salvation, you want me to repent, I repent. You want me to accept you, Lord, I accept you as Lord and Savior. Thank you. Come into my life. Allow me to experience your peace. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. If you have been blessed, we invite you to chat with us. If you have any question, let us know. Click on the space provided below. Here are some suggested discussion questions that I strongly recommend you do it as a family, or you do it as a small group with your D group. What scares you at this time? How have you been responding? Some people are afraid of a lot of stuff. They live in fear. What is it? What impacted you from this message on Psalm 91? What promises will you hold on to? What is the condition of this promise? It's important to know the condition of this promise. May God bless you as you grow deeper in understanding God's word, His promises. God bless.
Thanks for watching. We would like to invite you to be a Christ-committed follower by being part of the movement as we honor God and obey His great commission. To find out if there's a CCF satellite near you, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/satellites. We also want to encourage you to join a small discipleship group where you can deepen your knowledge and love for Jesus and others. To sign up, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/discipleship group. All of CCF's video resources are available free of charge and are constantly being improved by our team. Would you consider supporting CCF through prayer and giving so more people can be blessed? You can give securely through our website at www.ccf.org.ph/give. For more videos like this, please subscribe to our channel. Thanks and God bless.